Get me for free. Courtesy of Yelp for Restaurant. Tools and tactics are what's going to make you successful in 2024. Yelp for Restaurants has the tools you need to scale your restaurant this year, and I'm here to help. Sign up for a consultation with Yelp Guest Manager and get a free one-hour coaching session with me. In our session, we'll dive deep into your restaurant and build the blueprint to overcome your current obstacles and scale your profitability. You can sign up for both free sessions by simply going to restaurants.yelp.com/full comp today. I'll see you soon. Now here we go.
Have right people at right place. If you're a startup, if you're like one location, two location, and still struggling to manage, you should hire external help because they would add a lot more perspective to the things that you're doing currently. You have to change the things the way you do to expect different results.
Welcome to Full Comp, a show offering insight into the hospitality industry, featuring restaurateurs, thought leaders, and innovators. Served up on the house. Are you on track to hit your profitability goals for this year? If you're struggling to hit your numbers, I might be able to help. Here's how I do it. Every year, I offer 5 complimentary growth sessions to restaurant owners looking to scale. In this call, we'll examine your current situation to see what is and isn't working. We'll identify your growth possibilities by the close of the year. We'll uncover the number one thing holding you and your business back. And we'll develop a growth plan that will get your business results. Go to planwithjosh.com to schedule one of the 5 complimentary growth sessions. They're going to go quickly. They always do. For most of us, our careers as restaurateurs have been defined by making do with what we can afford. Sure, it would be fantastic to bring on a chief financial officer, a director of HR, and a day-to-day bookkeeper, providing real-time analysis into our restaurants. But who can afford all of that? Well, through the internet and the globalized world we live in, there's now hope for all of us. Today, we sit down with Darshak Mehta of Analytics, an offshore advisory firm changing the face of our industry by providing great restaurants with the information and the support that they need. We discuss the path to profitability for their restaurant clients and the steps you can take today to achieve the same results.
So, I mean, I started my journey in 2011. I started working with a local CA firm, which is like a CPA firm here. I started as audit and compliance assistant. I worked for a lot of bank audits, tax, a lot of compliance, which is mostly after the fact. You do once a quarter, once a year, which rarely makes any impact to the business. So after working there for 4 or 5 years, I thought, oh, let's work directly to the business and join hands with operations. So I worked on some Indian corporate companies, managed their F&A division for 4 or 5 years. And then also I understood that, you know, I mean, it's not working or it's not exciting me anymore. So I started working with a company called Paper Chase, who's expert in hospitality industry. So I worked there for 5 years in UK hospitality industry. I got a good platform to explore myself. I went to UK, established a few services, trained people, learned a lot, came back. And then, you know, I worked there for 5 years. So I thought, oh, let's, you know, have something else. So I joined Analytics 5 years back. Ever since I joined Analytics, we added many services. I learned a lot because Analytics not only works for one industry, but we have multiple industries and we provide multiple business services. So it grew me all around and I got opportunity to move to US last year. So I'm here working on a lot of stuff with multiple business services leading from the front. So that's the journey so far.
I wanted to have you on for a selfish purpose. Like it's, yes, you guys do accounting and bookkeeping and all of that. But what I'm most interested in discussing today is your advisory services. You and I have worked together formally and informally for quite a while now. And every time we talk, you're sharing stories about, oh, we were able to tweak this thing in this person's business and this thing in that person's business and the impacts that it had. And so for the rest of the conversation, I want to talk about your role as kind of a fractional CFO of sorts in the impact that you're able to have on restaurant businesses. And the reason being, I think that there's very little value in data. I think that all of the value exists in the interpretation of that data. And so bookkeeping and accounting aside, in your role as an advisor for all of these restaurants that you work with, how do you interpret data in a way that it becomes actionable information for your restaurant clients?
I'll start with the journey and necessity. You know, why we shifted our focus more from like traditional bookkeeping to advisory services. Obviously, accounting bookkeeping is our bread and butter, but that doesn't improve business, right? That doesn't help businesses grow. Basically, it's mostly after the fact. So after the fact, accounting doesn't help businesses take informed decision, right? Because after a month or maybe quarter, depending on you know the accountant that businesses work with, they get one piece of paper with high-level P&L. And sometimes there are no last year comparison or budget comparison. So it's just, you're looking at number and you don't know what to do with those numbers. So obviously every traditional accountant only provides, you know, standard set of financial statements, which is like getting a blood report from a laboratory and then asking you to interpret it, basically, which doesn't work that way, right? And it's too late when you get 15 days after a month end. I mean, by the time you have lost so many days. So it was not helping client grow and take informed decision. So that became a necessity in today's time. So we expanded our scope by helping them improving internal controls. Like, are you depositing cash on time? Are you closing your POS every day? Is your day end checklist being followed by shift managers? I mean, we created a lot of those process and internal controls and, you know, started monitoring it for clients. And then we realized that, oh, this is really helping and making people hold accountable for their own performance. And then everybody's accountable for their own performance. You see a collective result and you see a shift in the P&Ls. If you only produce P&L and then, you know, don't interpret or don't convert it into the actionable insight, it hardly helps the businessman. So that was kind of necessity where we thought to start providing these additional services to our clients. We help them reading the reports because, I mean, you have charts, graphs, tables, everything, but there has to be a correlation between movement from one data point to another data point. For example, if your sales has gone down, you'll only see high-level numbers and then there would be another reports that you'll have to see and correlate whether your dine-in has gone down or takeout has gone down. Within dine-in and takeout, you'll need to see like number of customers and average spend. And then there are different metrics like by day part and by service center and a lot of those other aspects are there. When you pull out a report from POS, I mean, you'll have to pull out 10 different reports and correlate it between those reports, right? So we understood that gap and silos between different data points between operations and finances. And I mean, we started with that. Created our own custom reports. We worked with a lot of these restaurant operators and owners to bridge that gap and data silos. So they both understand from numbers perspective how important it is to go through numbers more frequently rather than just, you know, once a month. So I'll share some of the case studies. We have clients who are owner operators. We have clients who are chef operators. And we have clients who are investor owners. And it's different working with everybody because they all have different mindset and perspective towards business. The client that we have who's investor owner, he knows that restaurant is week-to-week business. And unlike other businesses where he has invested, up there he sees monthly, quarterly P&Ls and balance sheet. I mean, it's pretty standard, he knows. But up here, he knows it's a week-to-week business. So he requested weekly P&Ls and stuff. And he's very strong in reading numbers. So every week, he wants, you know, accurate P&L. Although, you know, some of the costs would be monthly and quarterly, he asks us to break it down by week and assign it to a particular week and see week-to-week profitability. If there's anything suspicious, he, you know, kind of charge on it. And, I mean, he's very unorthodox, you know, reviewing numbers and directly kind of connect with operators and stuff. He did it for 6 months and then numbers are all kind of autopilot. He knows if he does this top line, this is how his fixed and variable cost would behave in order to get the bottom line, because he's a smart investor and he reads numbers quite well. Versus we have chef owners, you know, I mean, they hate reading numbers more frequently. Their creativity side of it, or customer experience and concept and recipe kind of stuff. So up there, I mean, it takes too much time for us to draft a report for them, which makes sense for them, and then correlate it with margins, and then eventually, you know, how it affects your P&L at high level. So it's completely different set of reports that they see versus the report that my investor owner sees. And when it comes to franchise, it's completely different because it's a standard business. You cannot do much with your margin, sales price, recipes, inventory, and even changing system and processes. Everything is locked and you're expected to generate a certain amount of money. So franchise owners who owns like a bunch of franchise brands and like 50 or 60 or 100 stores, they want everything high level because they know that they have least control on, you know, changing stuff on operations. But they more think from system perspective and tracking perspective. So the report that they see is completely different. So we started with reporting, providing them more visibility to their numbers. I mean, of course, we were not the expert on day one and we were also learning. So we started asking, depending on the trends, that, oh, your trend has shifted from more takeout to more dine-in. Are you running any promotion? Kind of question, just to learn that, you know, how they think and how they execute. And we learn a lot during those first 2-3 years that, you know, how different owners and different operational people think and execute based on the number that they see on week-to-week basis. I'll give you one scenario. I had one client who's from finance background running a sandwich shop. He acquired a sandwich shop thinking, oh, this is very simple business. Instead of working in New York City with the tough life, let me shift to one of the towns and just acquire couple of sandwich shop and it's easy. And then he found, and because he was from finance background, he could see that, oh, this is much difficult than working in finance. And then he standardized a lot of things and, you know, all the procurement side of it. He cut down like 15-20 vendors to 3 vendors, standardizing deliveries, getting everything ready made, and scaling from 200 sandwiches to 500 sandwiches a day. So pretty smart. He reaches to a conclusion on one day that, oh, my last 6 month P&L is kind of same. I'm not generating more than 15% net profit. What could be the reason? Everything, like all the numbers are making sense, pretty consistent. It aligns with my margin. What can I do to improve my bottom line from 15 to 20%? And you can spot exceptions, right? But when there is no exception, how would you spot opportunity? That, okay, where could things go wrong? And then, I mean, we do one exercise with this kind of clients where break-even doesn't work because they're already making profits and budgets are always met. So we did bottom-up strategy. So I said, okay, we know your fixed and variable cost. Let's put 20% bottom line and get you the top line. And let's see whether it's achievable or not. So, I mean, when we put 20%, considering his variable and fixed cost and got the top line, he was supposed to do 700 sandwiches a day. And he's like, oh, this is impossible. And then we started questioning why it is impossible, right? There's no way you can get 20% if you don't sell more because your fixed and variable costs are fixed, consistent, and well under control. The only thing you lack is bigger space, right? To make more sandwiches, to have more customers, and then, you know, do more in your lunchtime where you have like 70% of your sale. So then we figured out the constraint was space. I mean, he didn't have enough parking. He didn't have enough bigger kitchen where he can put 2-3 stations and, you know, do more sale during those lunch hours and stuff. I mean, he quickly got it. He changed the location just a couple of blocks away where he got 2-story building and big parking and stuff. So he was doing around 35, 40,000 a week. And just by changing location a couple of blocks away, he started doing 70,000 a week. Just double.
My God.
Sometimes you just have to think and question. You don't know the exact answer, but going through these questions, you would know that, oh, let me try this. And when you have things on paper, it kind of solidify, you know, the point that you have discussed and, you know, go through. I mean, he's from finance background, so he knew that, okay, the only thing I need to change is location.
That is wild that you turn to a guy and say, you need to shut this down and open this thing over here in a bigger space. And he actually did it and it worked. It's wild to think that you're able to create that level of trust between advisor and client. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about, just because I thought it'd be a worthwhile conversation, is, you know, my own experience as a restaurateur was that 2 weeks into the following month, we would get the P&L and either we made money or we didn't. And the solution was always to make more money, right? Like if we lost money, well, you just need to scale revenue. And we did massively. But every time we scaled revenue, we scaled associated expenses. And so it was like we were always chasing our own tail. So what I thought would be useful for the audience and a great reminder for me as well, what are the drivers of profitability in a restaurant? Certainly there are some people that are out there losing a ton of money. But like if we go with the average case, what we usually see, right, it's people that are making a little bit of money and then the next month they're losing a little bit of money. And then the next month they're break even. For the people that are in that situation, what are the drivers of profitability? Where's the opportunity to improve?
The answer is very simple. Like your majority of cost is in variable cost when it comes to restaurants, right? Like your material and labor, like cost of goods sold and labor. Now, when it comes to variable cost, it's very difficult to have more visibility because there is a huge transactional volume in restaurant industry. And then there are a bunch of people working on the same stuff every day and they keep coming and going because it's very volatile, right? You have to train people and you have to hire people and have all your internal controls in place. So when it comes to saving some percentage on variable cost, that's where the main saving is. For example, you're doing 5 million. Even 1% is a huge amount, right, that you could save at the end of the period. I mean, I always start with setting up goals with client that, okay, what's your goal? Whether you want to achieve 6 million from 5 million or you want to achieve 15% bottom line. There's always different goals. If somebody is not keen into running that business and adding more location over a period of time and they just want to increase the top line and then sell it off in a few years to come, they have different goals. They always look for top line. And there are other business owners who say, so I'm okay to do 4 million, but I want to do 20% net profit. I want to earn on every check, right? So when it comes to saving on percentage cost, main is COGS, and you see a lot of wastage, a lot of non-revenue meals, like employee meals and test meals and display meals. I mean, if there is bakery and stuff, there's a lot of display thing that you throw away at the end of the day. There are a lot of comps and discounts and a lot of stuff which are not under control, right? So that's where you can save some money. And then, I mean, nowadays, technology is there. You can keep track of each and every purchase, consumption, inventory, wastage. A lot of systems are out there. So depending on how mature your business is, you should have better systems and processes in place to track it. So not only we monitor like one line item on P&L, which is sometimes 25% or 28% or 29% of your revenue, but you can even break it down by categories and subcategories and consumption of each category by number of checks, right? So you know on each check or each customer, you're spending X dollar amount on vegetables, whether it makes sense or not, right? So we create a lot of those analysis and help client to have more visibility and be more mindful of what they consume in order to generate sales. And over a period of time, we have seen our customers are saving anywhere between 2 to 3% or 4% on their cost of goods sold. And same thing with labor. You have to be very mindful on your hourly labors. Fixed labor, you cannot do much. But when it comes to hourly labor, I mean, I'll give you some practical scenarios. We had one client who was very consistent, 20-year-old restaurant, very loyal customers, and they always have consistent top line and bottom line. When we drill down their report, we set up a benchmark of daily hourly labor versus sale, because that's where you can control, right? You can schedule better to save some dollar amount and percentage. So on weekly basis, their labor was in control. But when we divided it into days, every Monday, hourly labor cost was like 50% every Monday. And then we asked that, oh, because you have a very consistent sale, your one number for a week always, you know, comes under your benchmark. But what about Mondays? Why are you losing a couple of $100 every Monday? And they said, oh, there's only one person who comes on Monday and sometime he doesn't show up. So we end up scheduling for two people. I said, well, if you already know your problem, why don't you do something about it? It's been there since years, right? And then they just made that change and they save like $2,000 a month just for the Mondays because they keep adding two people instead of one person where it was not required. So these are the type of stuff somebody has to monitor on more frequent basis, week to week, and take informed decisions so that they can save a lot of money. Same thing with increasing revenue. As I gave you example of the sandwich shop, you should always look for opportunity to grab more customers or increase repetitive customers. And then, I mean, obviously, per person average spend is also very important. Some general managers and owners are very smart and they keep engaging their customers and their per person average goes up, you know, with seasonal menus and, I mean, whatever freebies that they provide to attract more customers. Versus some are stagnant and, you know, they always blame weather and, oh, I don't have enough footfall or my neighbor is, you know, doing more than me and stuff. You cannot complain. This is the nature of business. So saving few percentages on variable cost and increasing top line, it's kind of standard solution for making more money and saving more money on a recurring basis.
And I was a very top-heavy organization for a really long time. And for a period, it destroyed the profitability of all three restaurants. And the reason is we had too many managers. The reason that I share that is because what I learned, and I learned the hard way, is you don't run the business of the future today. You run the business of today today. So there might be a time that you need half a dozen managers and a district vice president and a director of operations. But like today, you need two key holders and a general manager. Has that been your experience in advising? Have you seen people that were too top heavy as well?
Yeah, definitely. And I always tell my clients that there are a few mistakes, you know, which you can recover from. And there are a few mistakes you will never recover from. So there are a few things, like when you have partners and everybody withdrawing money, you cannot do anything, right? Because that's how you set it up. You cannot ask your partner not to withdraw money in mid of the year because they also set up their expectations, right? When they jumped into the business with you. So whenever you start a new restaurant or acquire a new restaurant, it's very important to create projections beforehand. And always have your variable cost below the benchmark, I mean, industry benchmark. So if you add general managers, you withdraw money, everything is counted and your labor cost is like above 50%. That's not business, right? So before even you start, you should know that, you know, each line item, whether it's fixed or variable cost, should be aligned to industry benchmark. And you should be mindful of your top line, whether the top line can absorb those variable costs or not. So that's the very common mistake I've seen. I mean, you rightly pointed out. It's very common. I mean, people realize it so after they start the business. So that's the first thing they should look at. Create projections. Have a fact check whether this business makes sense to you. And at least track your actual performance with those goals, at least for a year or two. Once everything is under control, as per your goals, it's aligned, each and every line item is aligned, then you can do a little bit experiment. Add more location, you know, add partners, add more GMs, then you're able to take risk. But having too much fixed cost, sometimes it's like irreversible mistake that you would commit.
I was listening to a podcast literally earlier today while I was walking the dog. Obviously, I'm a big fan of podcasts. I have my own. But it said something that resonated with me that speaks to a conversation you and I had had previously, which is these two guys were talking about prioritizing efficiency over effectiveness and the mistake that that is. And I would assume that a lot of people come to you, right, looking to become a more efficient operation as opposed to becoming a more effective operation. They, you know, their books are a cobweb's nest and they want to Frankenstein together all of these different softwares. And by doing so, they're going to have a clear indication of, I guess, why they're losing all of this money, as opposed to saying, like, this is about strategy. We will clear up the cobwebs. But before we do that, let's do what is most effective. Because even without a clear picture, you are able to adjust their revenue model to create a more profitable version while you're sorting out, I keep saying a spider web, but it's probably closer to a hornet's nest of paperwork in the interim. Talk to me about that. Talk to me about the impact that you guys can have through onboarding by focusing on what is effective versus what is efficient.
So when it comes to efficiency, right, it's more about deploying systems and processes. If you're doing few things manually, paying too much time running payrolls, I mean, spending too much time cutting checks, talking to vendors, negotiating, sometimes it's not necessary. You should be mindful of your actual versus goals, basically. It's very basic. If you know that you're not meeting enough margins, no point spending time on running payroll, right? Work on your margins first, because that's where the big value is. So whenever we onboard a client, first thing that we do is see their situation. Do you have books in place? They say yes, then we review it. When we review it, we figured out, you know, their chart of accounts are not aligned to the industry. There is no proper bifurcation of fixed and variable cost. So you have to, you know, clean up a lot of things and get the books in place where you can analyze at least basic things like sales, variable, fixed cost, and bottom line. It may not be 100% accurately categorized, but at least something should make sense, right? Now let's assume that these things are in place. You should have your goals to compare with. Everybody has different goal, right? Somebody would say, I'm okay with having $20,000 rent, but I don't want to change this location, right? Because I know after 6 months it would boom. Fine. But you should know, you know, how much your tolerance level is. So once you have your goal and actual in place and it's making sense to you and you're okay to tolerate it for a while, that's it. You don't need to spend too much time deploying a lot of technologies and a lot of stuff. There are stuff that you can do which are more effective for a time being versus only working on efficiencies. Like, two things I always emphasize to my clients. One is you should never compromise on margin. If your business doesn't have enough margin, no point doing business. You know, cutting down your fixed costs and managers and all those things, and you're not making enough margins. So making enough margins is the most important thing, and cash flow. Like, you will make a lot of margin, but you end up paying a lot of one-off cost, which is not planned. You'll always run out of balance, right? You will not get good vendor credits. You will not get good prices in market. And you'll not be able to cut down your variable cost because you don't have enough fund to keep on changing vendor based on, I mean, how important that is to gain more margins. So two things I would always say, you know, irrespective where you are on your journey of growth, the two factors are always effective to start with is margin and cash flow. And that doesn't require too much technology deployment or big changes in organization. So typically, I start with those two points to have quick impact on the business.
Let's talk about cash flow. This is one of my favorite parts of your job and probably one of your least favorite parts of your job, which I think is just so interesting. So coaches, consultants, advisors, whatever it is, you function as a coach, as a therapist, as all of these different things. One of the things that I found super unexpected that I don't specialize in, but you do, is playing referee. One of the first things you do when you go into a business is you reach out to all of the vendors as the referee, as an advocate for the business owner, and you're like, listen, this is what we can afford to pay you, and we can pay you in this cadence. And this is how it's going to be. And I just need to make sure you understand it. And because you're not the restaurant owner, because you are like this objective third party, you're able to free up a ton of cash flow for your clients because you're able to negotiate reasonable rates to help people get out of debt. You're able to, I mean, I guess you would look at it as a debt restructuring plan in a way that keeps them current on their existing net 30s and creates a strategy to pay down debt over time, which you wouldn't think that that's a typical service, but I mean, incredibly valuable. So I want to hear more about that, but I also want to hear about the conversations around that.
So I'll tell you, cash flow is the most favorite part you know, for me to serve any business. Because when a business owner get a call from vendor chasing money, they don't like it. I have seen two things which business owner hate is paying employees and paying vendors. They don't want people to call them for money. So that's the place where we can provide highest value and make impact. So I'll give you some case studies how we have helped clients so far. Cash flow becomes tricky when you have multiple locations and you have plans to grow. There are pre-operating sites where you're funding from your current business, right? And at the same time, you're also running your show. And there are much more complexity to cash flow than just running one restaurant and just keep getting funded. I'll give both scenarios. First scenario, we onboarded a client where there was long outstanding of vendors for a year. And it was in mess. Some of the bills were paid, some of the bills were not paid. And, you know, vendor was not comfortable with outstanding and stuff. When we onboarded, there was a lot of direct debits going from one versus another bank account. And we didn't know every day that, oh, I have $5,000 balance, but you never know there would be a hit of $10,000 from any bank account. So it requires a lot of discipline. So first thing that we do is centralize all the direct debits from multiple bank account to one bank account and make a list of it. So we know that every month, the total direct debit for a month is $50,000. Okay, let's keep $50,000 in that bank account and you're done. You'll not get any surprise. That one thing has been fixed now. Then other things are mandatory payments. So if you have rent, credit card, loan payments, sales tax, all these things you cannot delay it, right? They would occur on a specific date and you have to have enough funds to make those payments and payroll. So we create reserve. I advise to create reserve account where the payment should go once a month. So from every receipt at the end of the day, when you get from sales, every week you kind of do a proportionate amount for all those mandatory payments and shift those payments to those reserve accounts and set up a direct debit for all the mandatory payments from that account. So you know that, you know, every 10th you have $15,000 for loan payment. Every weekend you have X amount for payroll. Every 28th you have to pay sales tax. You just take a sum amount for a month from the historic transaction, divide it by week, and transfer all your sales proceeding to that particular reserve account for mandatory payments. So all your direct debits are set. All your mandatory payments are set. Now you have peace of mind to play with vendors, right? You cannot keep playing with 100 balls, right? You can only play with 2 or 3, depending on your skills. So now you know that, okay, after removing all the mandatory payments every week, I get $20,000 in my bank account. Now I can prioritize vendor and I can talk to vendor. I have $20,000 in my bank account. This is my seasonal projections. I can pay you this much. And then once you make recurring payments, vendor would have confidence. Then now we are consistent. Although we are not making full payment, but we are making consistent payments. Once these things are sorted, then I kind of work with businessmen. That, okay, let's talk about how you create more cash flow, right? How you generate more cash. Till now, we were only figuring out how we can manage in this much cash. Now you have to figure out how can you add more cash. Sometimes I encourage clients to get a line of credit for at least 3 to 6 months to get all the historic vendor payments up and running. And you don't pay a principal amount each month. You only pay interest. So even though you have less cash flow, you can still manage with line of credit, but not with loan. Because you would add one more big payment from your cash flow if you take a loan, right? So I implemented this for one of my clients like 3 years back. I took charge of the cash flow. I said, oh, you'll not talk to vendors. I am the one who will talk to vendors because vendor can threaten the kitchen people, right? I'll not provide you deliveries if you don't pay me, and they will pay. Versus accountant deals with, you know, a lot of them and they know how to deal with them. So they can work with them and they'll not threaten them. So it's easy to manage the relationship from finance to finance versus from delivery boy to kitchen people. So I implemented the whole practice. We took a line of credit of around 100,000 for 6 months. We constantly paid back 6,000 to 7,000 every month. And in 12 months, everything was autopilot. And I mean, everybody is happy. Now even they created another reserve account where they park additional funds which can be used to expand more locations. So cash flow can give peace of mind to business owner, which can eventually use those time to scale and grow instead of worrying about, picking up phone calls and giving unreasonable timeline to different vendors and mandatory payments.
What should we steal from you? What are the tactics, the tools, the strategies that you're using in your day-to-day to add value to the lives of your clients that we should do as well?
I think everything starts from strategy. As I said, whenever we onboard client, the first thing we talk about is what's your goal, right? Because there's no wrong or right way to approach things. If you're not following your own goals, then there is a problem. So first thing is approach. Like we set up goal and then we set up a tracking mechanism. It's kind of showing mirror to someone, right? This was your goal and this is what you're doing. And eventually, like after seeing 3, 4, 5 weeks, they would know that, oh no, I have to do these 1, 2, 3, 4 steps in order to get aligned to my goal. So goal is the first step. Second is having tracking mechanism. Third is once you track things, you know certain things are working, certain things are not working. But at least you know the problem. Then you start taking actions by following best practices, by deploying systems and tools, training people. I mean, you know where to work. And then because there is tracking mechanism, you see the output of all your actionable points, right? And you constantly monitor it. If things are not improving over a period of time and it's kind of stagnant, as I said, if your net profit is stagnant and you know that I'm consistent in everything, nothing has been changing, there are some big decisions. As I said, change location, change concept, add more seats on, outside sitting, do something outside the box, right? You cannot traditionally keep operating or doing the same way and expect different results. So I think strategy, approach, setting up goals, consistently following it, being disciplined, always focusing on your margins and cash flow. I think it's combination of everything and not just one thing that can solve. Like, I was reading National Restaurant Association report and it says like 7 to 8 restaurant out of 10 kind of get closed in first 3 to 5 years. And still people are opening new restaurants. That means this is very hopeful business where you get cash every day, which is lucrative. But it's very easy to lose money because of the transactional volume. So you always need somebody before you even open the business. Just have all your projections in place, have visibility, see whether the top line is practically possible or not before even you sign the lease agreement. Once you take a decision of choosing a bad location, it's an irreversible mistake, right? So start with that. And if everything is going right, it's just a matter of being disciplined and following your goals. And you should be fine.
If I was listening to this conversation within the first 5 years of me being a restaurateur, I'd probably be somewhere in between a nosebleed and a heart attack, but not in a good place emotionally. Because I think for so many of us, the hurdle is overwhelm more than anything else. And so what words of encouragement do you have for the folks listening that working hard isn't their problem, right? They're just not working on the right things.
I think a couple of basic points. Like I said, have right people at right place. If you're a startup, if you're like one location, two location and still struggling to manage, you should hire external help because they would add a lot more perspective to the things that you're doing currently. You have to change the things the way you do to expect different results. So if you're struggling, if you're not meeting enough margins, if you're not having efficient processes, try and see for external help, right? I mean, you don't need to have everything house and still, things would not work. So that's the first advice I would give. And then two things which can save you from sinking is having good margin and having good cash flow. And you need expert to drive that. So always look for help and, think twice before you open a new concept because that's the best decision you would make, right? It's a big decision. If you just randomly open a restaurant just because others are doing it, it will not work. There are a lot many things goes behind the concept and validating numbers and stuff before even you go and start the business. So, that's the advice I would give to everybody.
Our industry suffers from razor-thin margins, and the only way for us to ensure profitability is to make data-driven decisions. The numbers don't lie, and Yelp for Restaurants just released some incredibly compelling numbers. For starters, Yelp reaches 9 times more customers online than OpenTable. And when restaurants pair that level of visibility with Guest Manager and Yelp ads, they experience up to an 8% lift in diner bookings. Think about what that 8% lift could do for your restaurant's finances. To learn more about how Yelp for Restaurants can support your business, visit restaurants.yelp.com/full comp to learn more today. That's Darshak Mehta. For more information on analytics, visit analytics.com/industries/restaurants. If you want to tell us your story, hear previous episodes, or check out our other content, go to restaurants.yelp.com/full comp. Thank you so much for listening to the show. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. While you're there, please leave us a review. A special thanks to Yelp for helping us spread the word to the whole hospitality community. I'm Josh Kopel. You've been listening to Full Comp.